So, okay, we're going to start. You test them with Aleph. We are at the two dots at the bottom, four lines up from the bottom of the page. The last word is Kavru es hames v'chazru. Okay? So that's where we're up to, four lines from the bottom. Okay? Everyone see? Everyone at the place? We'll start in a moment. Okay. So we're going to get all the way to Chaf. I'm not going to really plow through this today. But it's a really great sugya. Now, just to start us off, we're going to be talking about the Mishnah a little bit, some of the issues with the Avel and what we're going to be doing with Kriyas Shema in relationship to being Menachem Avel. But the main part of today's Amud is going to be discussing the topic of Kavod HaBrios and how it relates to performance of Mitzvot Naveros when it comes to Kavod HaBrios. And it's like a self-contained topic. It's really, really interesting to see how the Gemara attacks and goes through that process of taking a clash in Halacha between two issues and figuring out how to define where both operate relative one to the other. Literally, like if you're a lawyer and you like texting, figuring things out and then honing the definition, this is literally what the Gemara is going to do tonight. And we will have some very practical applications to this discussion that come out and really inform what we can do based on it. So we'll get to that at the end. But let's start with the bottom here. So the Mishnah had said, Kavru es hames v'chazru. So they went ahead, they buried the dead, and they were going back to a place of formation where they were going to come to greet and be Menachem the Avel. So the Mishnah had said, or we're going to quote now actually what the story is, Im yicholim lahatzo v'ligmor es kula in. If you have a chance, before you're going to go, to start saying Shema, finish, and es kula, all of it, then you should say Kriya Shema before you go to be Menachem Avil. So es kula in, if you don't have time to finish it, then what you should do is first go be Menachem Avel and then say Kriya Shema, or if it's the last moment to say Kriya Shema, you're not going to be able to say Kriya Shema. You have already the obligation to do the mitzvah of be Menachem Avel. Okay? So the Gemara says, Im yichom lahasa v'ligmor es kula in. If you can finish all of Kriya Shema before you have to go to be Menachem the Avel to go to the assembly line, where after the Kavura the Avel's going to be there and everyone's going to be Menachem him or her. So the Gemara says, but it's aval perik echad, or pasuk echad, but if all you have the time to do is to start the very first perik, the first chapter, the first paragraph of Kriya Shema, or you only have a chance to say the first pasuk of Kriya Shema, that would not be enough. In that case, you better run to be Menachem Avil first, because you do not have enough time yet to go. The Gemara says, v'raminhu, we have a brice that says the following, kavros hames v'chazru, if they bury the dead, the chazru, and then they go back to the assembly point where the avil is going to. Everyone been to, you know, after the kura with the avil is there, and everyone comes to like in a line where, or in a circle around him to say hamakim menachem to be menachem the avil. So that's what we're discussing. So the brisa says, if im yichom lahatzka v'ligmor afilu perik echad pasuk echad, if all you have a chance to do is to start shema by saying at least one pasuk, a minimum one pasuk, or certainly one paragraph, then you have to say Shema and finish it before you go ahead to be Menachem the Avel. Which seems to be against what our Gemara just said, which is you have to finish the entire thing. You have to finish the entire Kriya Shema before you go. So the Gemara answers, no. Hachinami Kamar, we meant that also. Im yicholim lahatzo v'ligmor, our Mishnah said if you can start and finish afilu perek echad, afilu pasuk echad, ashe yagiyu l'shura yasilu, if you can finish even just one pasuk or even just one paragraph of Shema before you go to the Menachem Avel, you should say Shema first. And if in lav, if you don't even have that amount of time, it's quick, you gotta go quickly to the Menachem Avel, then you should be Menachem Avel. Now, just to point out one thing first. Apparently, you have, remember, this is a situation of ha'osek the mitzvah, pasur the mitzvah. If you're involved in mitzvah A, you do not at that moment have to do mitzvah B, because you can't do both at the same time. So what we're discussing here is that you're going to be Menachem Avil. So I'm going to make two points about this. Number one is that apparently, as soon as you see Avil's there, you're not there with him yet, you just have finished, you were at the Kavura, and you're now going to be going to the Avil where he's forming, the assembly is forming, as a group to be Menachem Avil. Apparently, the mitzvah, there's a clash here. There's a mitzvah if you don't have time to say Shema and do both, meaning when you can do mitzvah A and mitzvah B at the same time, there's no clash. Do both mitzvahs. We're talking about a situation where if you don't have time to say Shema, at this very moment you have to go to run to make it to the B'Menachem Avel, well then you put Kriya Shema aside and do the mitzvah of Menachem Avel. Now the question is, well, presumably, when does that mitzvah of Nichama Velim start? The Avel's there, you're here, you have to say Kriya Shema. Maybe we should say Kriya Shema, and then when you get to the Avel, that's when that mitzvah begins. He's not with you, he's there somewhere. So they point out that as apparently when you're at the Kavura, as soon as you are there in the cemetery and the Avel is there, your obligation right after the Kavura is, first and foremost, to give Divrei Nechama, to give comfort to the Avel. That is an immediate obligation as soon as the burial is finished. That is why the obligation of Kriya Shema, which is also immediately upon you, is also coinciding with the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two, I'll get to Richie. Point number two is that, let me ask you a question. Is saying Hamakum Yenachem, doing Nichum Avelim, is that a mitzvah? Is that a mitzvah? So, what was that?
Is that Mahu Afasa?
That might be where, I don't know if that's what's quoted, but the rush, you have the rush, quotes an hour, even if Rabbi Yonah, the rush, because Rabbi Yonah in Rachel says, from here we see that Nicham Avela must be their answer. Exactly. It must be a mitzvah because you're losing on Kriya Shema. He says, Mishum din tachanume Avelim midaraisa. Where does it come from? Bichlal gemilas chasadim havei. Ugemilas chasadim, right? Doing loving kindness, minat Torah. Kedamriyam ve'odata lahem es haderech zu, haderech yelchuba, you should teach your children the proper path and how to act. What does that mean? You should teach them gemilas chasadim. That's the pasuk that is the source for gemilas chasadim. And nicham aveilim, what's nicham aveilim? It's a chesed, it's properly treating someone to make them feel better when they are down. So then, in fact, it is a mitzvah. There are others that say that Nichum Avelim, though, is only a Dinder Rabbanan. The Rambam says that Nichum Avelim, the Paskins, is only a Dinder Rabbanan. So, it's not one Tariq Mitzvah. Yeah. Kriya Shema is mitzvah deraisa b'shach b'cha v'kumecha. Twice a day, not just once a day, but twice a day you have to say Kriya Shema. Nicham Avelim, according to the Rambam, is not mitzvah to the Torah. That's correct. That is correct, according to the Rambam. But according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, point out that you see from our Gemara that it must be a mitzvah deraisa because, in fact, that's why there is this conflict between the two. Let's see if I have here. He would continue. If you start, you finish. Because once you're going to start with Kriya Shema, you continue to finish Kriya Shema.
You pause. If you can do it before you. That's the more thing. You pause. If you have time, you can think. Well, you shouldn't be walking when you're saying it. You should be standing. I think what the Gemara is probably saying is that if you're.
You would finish Kriya Shema. Is that what you're saying? Yes, correct.
Yeah.
If you can start, because once you start the mitzvah Kriya Shema, you can't leave it aside. The point is, before you start, then if another mitzvah is coming, beforehand, meaning the question is which mitzvah essentially gets to the front of the line first, and once it is there, once you are then fully obligated in that mitzvah, you finish it, you complete it. So if Kriya Shema is there first, and you can start it, once you at least can start it, then you have to finish it. If you can't even start it, then Nicham Avelim wins. I'm sorry. Let me just remember. So the Rambam says it's only Durabanan. It's only mitzvah Durabanan. So how is it that this mitzvah Durabanan beats out the other mitzvah Duraisa? because our Gemara is about to discuss that when it comes to cover the brios, when it comes to cover the brios, a mitzvah where it's for someone's honor and making it properly treat, not like you have the oval right there and he sees you chuckling away, ignoring him. How do you think he feels? The whole group, everyone, remember, it's not just the whole group there. Everyone's there and it's time for last moment for Krishna. Everyone was busy getting to the graveside and dry. No one had a chance to say Krishna. Meanwhile, the guy's sitting there, now the tour is over, on his own. That would be not proper kavod habrios to leave him on his own while you're finishing your Kriya Shema. So because we understand that it's better to the nicham avelim should overcome the Shema b'shev al tasa. You're not doing an action against Shema. You're passively not saying it. So we're going to learn that when kavod habrios is only by a, it's only an issue derabanan. But when it comes to a, it will overcome a requirement d'oraisa when there's a clash between doing something which is honor for a person. And on the other hand, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa. If I forsake the mitzvah d'oraisa in a passive way, then I should do the kavod habrios. And that's what we're going to see in our Gemara later, but I just remember that was the point of the Rambam, that even though it's d'rabanan, kavod habrios wins, even though it's d'rabanan, against a d'oraisa, because kavod habrios is what gives it that jump above.
Can you talk about popping the conflict?
Yes.
What if it was like, I mean, any mitzvah, for example, like the last time to sell your hummus? I mean, would you stop that? I mean, just saying, are they, is it all equal out, or are we just talking about any mitzvah?
Sounds like a great chabura topic. So generally speaking, when you have two mitzvahs at the same time, one does cancel the other. When you should do the one you're already involved with, unless you can accomplish both. So, but we're assuming that there is a complete conflict here where you can only do one at this moment, not both, and you will not have a chance to do it later. If you could do the other mitzvah later, equal opportunity, so then do it later.
So general, would that override any price thing?
Meaning I'm involved in doing Gemilas Chesed because there's a Gemilas Chesed event right now.
You want to be careful.
So if you're, so you have to assume that this is specifically upon you. So why, meaning for example, so if you were the organizer of that Gemilas Chesed event, if you're not there, it's not happening, and you are obligated at this moment to be part of it because you're there already, then the answer is yes. But if we're talking about a situation where they need 5 volunteers, why? Who says you have to be the volunteer? Generally speaking, you should, but if you have the mitzvah of Krishna, which comes first. You're not there yet. I mean, if you have to drive, go to the meals tested place, or there's other people who can do it, then they presumably would not. I don't think it's specific to, yeah, presumably other meals tested would be a type of thing, which is assuming it's a mitzvah, and if it's in conflict with your Krishna, and the meals tested came first. So let's say, I don't know if it's really the same, but like, what if a doctor's in the middle of surgery, right? So I'm not sure that's chesed, but he's being merape, or they're helping the lady cross the street. It's really slow across that street. And the time is coming already, and it's taking me 20 minutes to cross that street. Presumably, you wouldn't say Krishna, you'd help the lady cross the street so she gets to the side, now leave her somewhere in the middle. Like, just stay in the median, I'll be back in 2 minutes. Okay. All right, so that was an interesting discussion, and a little bit of foreshadowing what we're going to get to in the rest of the Gemara. Okay.
One last question.
Yes.
Do we change like the girsa of the Gemara? Like what if you
have? No, we're just with the Gemara. The Mishnah had not said that specifically. The Mishnah simply said that im yicholim lahasav ligmor. If you have a chance to start and finish, then you should say the Krishna. You should start. If you can start and finish, you should start. The Gemara has felt, or that meant, it's adding a word, kula. All of it. It made the assumption that it was if you could finish all of it. That's not something the Mishnah said. There's no girsa like that in our Mishnah.
So the Gemara
said, well, that's the Braisa specifically says if you can only start one pasuk or one paragraph, and that would be enough to get you started. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara concludes that, that was what our Mishnah meant as well. Our Mishnah was not trying to say that you can, when it said, lahasil viligmor, that meant specifically all of it. It meant just like the Braisa. Bachanami, here too, our Mishnah also meant just like, essentially read the Mishnah, in light of the brightness. We're not changing anything. Okay. All right, so let's go further. Ha'omdim b'shura. So those who are standing in the line, we said that those who are in the inner parts of the line, inner parts of the circle around this avel, who are coming to the Nachm Avel, they should go ahead and they have to give proper Nichum Avelim, but those who are further away, they say Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Shura Haro'a Pnima Ketura, V'sheina Ro'a Pnima Chayevas. That row, which can see in to the inside, meaning obviously the innermost row, this is the way Rashi explains it, the innermost row certainly, the ones who are right up face against the Avel, they certainly have to give him Nechama. What about the row that's one back? So they can see right through the shoulders of the people right in front of them. They too have to give the proper Nicham Avelim. But those who are in row 3, 4, and 5, and they can't really see the Avel can't see them, so those guys, they say Kriya Shema. That row is Chayeves in Kriya Shema. Okay, the point is, if you can physically see the Avel, Rav Yehuda says, different distinction. Habayim Machma Sa'avel. If those who come for the Avel, what does it mean? They're coming for, Rashi says, they're coming for the Avel, I mean they're coming to give proper Nicham Avilim to the Avel. That's why they're there. They are Pturim. Machmas Atman, if they're there for themselves, Chayev. So who is it? Who is Machmas Atman for themselves? They've come to this cemetery for themselves. I don't think it makes any sense. Rashi explains what he's saying. Rashi says Machmas Atman means they're not coming to cover for the mace. They're there, Liros Esamora, to see the event. Like, they're like live blogging. They're like working for Yeshiva World News, and they're like live blogging the Kvura. They're there to work or to record the event.
They're selling soda.
Or, simply, imagine if you are a worker of a company that is there to provide logistical, let's say they're live streaming, and you're simply there to hold the camera. You wouldn't otherwise be there. You're hired by this company to hold the camera so that they can live stream the Kvura. So you would be the type of person who didn't come Machmasa Avel, you came Machmas Atma, meaning not for the honor of the dead, but just for your own purposes. And this nothing bad, but also maybe just the yentas who want to see what's going on. Ah, there's a bunch of people gathering. Who is it? Exactly. So that they would be chayav. Okay, that would make sense. Now the only point out, so Yehuda is adding his point. Does he mean to say lechumra on the beginning, on the boy first said, that even those who are in the front row where the Avel can see them, that even that type of person would be chayav if they're not there for the Avel? Or does he mean, no. If the people in the back, they can't, those people, he's trying to be makil, that even those in the very, very back who can't see the Avel, but they're there for the honor of the dead, they're there for the honor of the Avel, then they are potter from Kriya Shema. I mean, what is this distinction? Is he saying it on the first part, which is that even if you're close up, your putter, if you're not there for the right reason or the appropriate reason, or does he mean even those who are far back, if they're there, so okay, they couldn't get to the front row, but they're there for the right reason, they are putter from Kriya Shema because they're there, they're doing the Nicham Avelim, and that is their intention. Okay, that's the question also the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah asked. They just mentioned different people, mentioned different things. We can again give a chabur topic on which part of it is it like your mind, is it your position? You can imagine the different hakirs you can give about what its purpose is between this distinction of Yehuda. Okay, let's go ahead. Let's go further. Okay. Now we're going to get to our main topic today. So this we have to hold. We have to pay attention from this spot until we get to the next page, because this is going to be the major topic for today. Very, very important sugya that has many, many halachic implications. Amar of Yehuda Amarav. Hamotzi kilayim bibigdo. Hamotze. Thank you. Hamotze kilayim bibigdo. If a person finds that he is wearing shatnez, he's wearing wool and linen, right? Femer and pishtan in his own beged. He realizes all of a sudden he has it. So the halach is poshtan. He should take off that clothing. Afilu b'shuk, even if he's in public. Even in public. Because you are over the avera every moment that you are wearing the shatnez, you better take it off even in public. My taima. Why do you have to be so crazy to take off at the very moment? I mean, come on, be discreet a little bit. Maybe wait a few minutes. No, the quote's a pasuk. Ein chachma, ein tvuna, vein etzel neged Hashem. Meaning, there's no way around it. When you have a mitzvah Hashem, you got to do it. And there's no like, well, I'm kind of in public now. It's not so convenient at the moment. There's nothing in etzah, ein chachma, ein tvuna. There's nothing you can figure out to get out of it. You have to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah. In this case, not do the avera. And the Gemara continues: Kol makom sheish chil Hashem, in chokim kavod l'rab. And anytime there's an issue of chil Hashem, meaning when there's an avera being done, We don't give proper honor to the Rav. Now, what does that mean? Let's go on for that. So the Gemara here, we have a, the Gemara says that if a person finds, if he has shatnez in his clothing, the big dough, so that means that you have to, you realize you're doing the aver, you got to take off your clothing. What if the Rush points out that that would not be true? What if you see your friend wearing shatnez? You're like, I just bought that suit. I checked the shatnez, it has shatnez all over it. And now he's wearing it. I know that's the one, I bought the same one, he's wearing it now. Do you have to rip his clothing off of him, or do you have to inform him, sorry, I know we're in Times Square, but I just realized you're wearing that suit that has shatnez all over it. Or should you be quiet and not say anything until you get to like a discreet location later on? Because after all, when you are recognizing wearing shatnez, the important thing, halacha, is that you're over the aver at that point, bemezid. You know that you're wearing something which you're not allowed to wear. But that friend, the other person who's wearing something, only you know he's wearing something wrong, he is blissfully ignorant. What we call that is he's ones, or really shogeg. He has no idea that he's doing an aver. So maybe he should be shogeg unintentionally, you know, doing this avera, rather than have to pull off his clothing in the middle of the public street. So the Rush says, the fact that Argamar says, Kilayim Bidigdo is only your clothing, you should not tell your friend if you see him wearing shatnez in the street. However, the Rambam writes in Hilchot Kilayim that if a person sees the shatnez, that is, if I can find it here.
They also say the same halacha apply if you know on Shabbos the Erev fell down, and you see someone carrying on Shabbos, depending on this machlokas, should you tell them or not?
Well, let's get the machlokas first. Let's get the machlokas first. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but the Rambam says, Haroa kilayim shel Torah al chaver. If you see that someone is wearing kilayim that is on the level of Doraisa, afiu haya mahalach b'shok, even if your friend is walking the street, kofet lo v'koro alav miyad, jump and rip it off of him. Vafiu haya rabo shalom do chachma, even if it's your Rebbe who's wearing the shatnez. Sorry. She'en kavod abrios, docha iser lo ta'aseh mefurish b'torah, because kavod abrios is personal honor isn't going to override a din doraisa. That's a, you know, respecting people is nice, but when they're doing an avera, you can't do anything about it. Even your Rebbe. What supports about our Gemara? The girsa of our Gemara, the Rambam must have different, because our Gemara says big dough, his own clothing. The Rambam must have had the girsa of the beged in the clothing, not specifically yours. But what part of our Gemara supports the Rambam's contention that even if it's your Rebbe wearing the shatnez, you have to rip it off of him? That last line, which says that b'makom she
ain't
cover the Rav. Even the Rav, even if the Rav, the Gemara says, is the one who's covered, we're worried about, if he's doing the avera, you have to take the clothing off of him. Okay. There is a famous Shaila that was asked to the Nod of Yehuda, which applies to what Mori is talking about, but it's not that actual case. For those of you in the Yehuda was asked, it was some guy who was living, he was a boarder in someone's house for a few years, and he got close to the family, and he writes to the Nod of Yehuda, I got a little bit too close to the mother of the house, a little bit too close. He was having an affair at some point with the mother, but he says, now, you know, it's a good family, it was a mistake that I made, a really horrible, horrible mistake, but now I'm getting married to the daughter. So I'm marrying the daughter now. The question is, am I, you know, I know, right, if a woman who's married has an affair, the implication of that is that she is no longer allowed to remain married to her husband. She and her husband are asurim. They cannot be married. They can't be together anymore. Now, I know that my future father-in-law should no longer be with my mother-in-law.
Do I tell him?
So should I tell him? Because every time they're together, he's doing an avera. Now, it's an avera that's unintentional. Or should I do nothing? Should I be passive and just not say anything? Because, honestly, if this comes out, it's a major embarrassment. And it's going to be a major embarrassment in the cover of the bris for the family. Pagam in the cover of the bris for the family. So, what do we do? Nod Yehuda points out that this would seem to be the exact machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam. Is it only when it is, do we say that when you are actively doing the Avera, that is the problem? Right, so the Rambam says anyone who's actively doing the avera, we have to stop him. That means that if it's you or someone else, it doesn't make a difference. But if it's passive, meaning if the avera is being done in a passive way, So we're like, you don't do something and the Avera gets done. So we're like, you're supposed to offer your Korban Pesach. But you don't offer your Korban Pesach because you're busy with something else, so you passively violated that mitzvah. So if it's being, we say that Kavah Brios overcomes when it's being done passively. But what's being done passively? So according to the Rambam, it's when the Avera is being done passively. But if the Avera is being done actively, I don't care whether it's you or whether it's your Rebbe or whether it's your father-in-law, you have to be stopping from doing the Avera. It's a Mafrisha Miyaser. According to the Rush, the Kavah Brios will supersede when you can passively allow the Avera to happen. The person who is recognizing the situation. If you actively have to do something, like you have to be the one. I was thinking about what would be the... So if you are like passively allowing your friend to walk through the street until he gets to the right spot where there's no longer a Kavah Brios problem and he's in private, and then you tell him, hey, you shouldn't wear that suit anymore, that's what you should do. Because if you are being, by not telling him, you are passively letting him violate the Avera. That's the opinion of the Rush. The Rush says if you see your friend wearing the shatnez in the street, don't stop him, because you are, by not stopping him, passively allowing the Avera to happen. And Kavah Brios, in a passive way, wins. The same case over here, he says, you should not tell your father-in-law because you're only passively allowing that Avera to continue. I imagine that would be different. I imagine it would be different if, like, there was some scenario where, like, the father-in-law, this whole case, you were, like, your mother-in-law was in jail, and the only way to, like, let your father-in-law in to be together with them is, like, you were the one laying them in, and then you would be actively allowing him to be violating the Avera. Otherwise, you're passive. That's the concept of fascist. You call the cops. 911. Right away. Okay, that's on record. Thank you. Okay, so we got the two opinions. Whether Kavah Brios, okay, here applies to the person who's wearing the shatnez, or even your friend or your Rebbe, according to Rambam, who is wearing the shatnez. Why? What's the point here? You have Kavah Brios on one side, and on the other hand, you have a mitzvah in the Torah. Which wins, according to Gemara? A mitzvah in the Torah. Kavah Brios, if you're wearing that shatnez, and you're in the middle of Times Square, and you recognize, oh my gosh, this is that suit that has shatnez or something, whatever, you find out, and now you know, rip off the suit right there. Take off the pants, take off the jacket, and make for the nearest... Well, in Times Square, actually, it might not be so... Actually, you might, and you'll blend right in. You'll blend right in. And then hold up a sign that says, you know, for money. You'll be one of the acts. You'll just be one of the acts in the street. Okay. So that's the presumption of Gemara. What the rest of what we're going to discuss is, right, we know that there are plenty of scenarios where Kavah Brios is a force that affects your actions, what you should do, even against the Torah. So we're going to try and figure out for the rest of the Gemara how these two things interplay. The Gemara's assumption is that right now, you're wearing the shatnez, you got to rip it off. But otherwise, I'm the Brios. So let's see how the rest of it plays out. Okay. Meisei. The Gemara asks the following question. Kavros hameis, if a person, they bury the dead, v'chazru v'lefneim beis rachim, and on their way back from the cemetery, there's two paths. Achas, we're walking with the Avil. You're walking with the Avil back on the path. There's like the entourage with him. Achas Tahora, one path, it's Tahor. There's no impurities along the way. Achas Tmei, and along the other path, you will come through a cemetery or come through some place where you will become Tamei, to a mace, along the way. So, Babitara, if the Avil chooses the path of, which is Tahor along its way, Bainimo, you go with him. Bitara, you go with him on that Tahor path. If the Avil chooses the path out of the cemetery, which is going to be mitame, it's going to make everyone their tame, imo bitama. Then even if you're a Kohen, you should continue with the Avil along the path and make yourself tame as a Kohen. Mishum, why are you going to do that? Mishum kavod. Because if you leave him, if the group leaves him because he's walking on the path that is tame, it will be noticeable and it's going to embarrass him. Better not to embarrass somebody and make yourself tame, even though a Kohen has an obligation not to become tame. A Kohen should not, nowadays most of the time, are tame, but a Kohen is not allowed to actively bring tumah upon himself. So therefore, a Kohen is not allowed to go into the cemetery. The Kohen might accidentally become tame. Yes, we're talking about a Kohen here. Because are you Yisrael? What's the problem? Yisrael is allowed to become tame. There's no prohibition. We're talking about a Kohen here. That's the assumption. And that's why there is the coin maybe you would think shouldn't do it, but because of Kavar Brios, he is allowed to be metame himself. The Gemara says, Vamai, why is the coin allowed to make himself tame? Lema in chachma in tzvun l'neged Hashem. When it comes to a din d'oraisa, you got to follow the Torah. I don't care what the honor of people should tell you to do. The Gemara answers, Targuma Rabbi Abba, b'beis hapras d'rabban. We're talking about that the path that you're going to go on out of the cemetery, which will make you tame, is only a tuma case d'rabbanan, a beis hapras. What is a beis hapras? A beis hapras is a field, an area, which had a grave somewhere buried in the field, and a plow share was plowed through the field. So it's possible if the plow went deep enough, it might have gone ahead and picked up a piece of bone, a human remain. And if someone then steps on that remain, then they will become tame. Now, it's deep in the ground. We don't know for sure that the plow went through that spot. We don't know if it pulled up. So, but on the Durabundan level, it's a suffering. On the Durabundan level, they said, a coin can't go there. A coin will become tame on the Durabundan level. But for this issue of Durabundan, meaning if you're only, of the Kohen, is going to only rabbinically violate his holiness, his holy stature, then we say Kavod Brios wins. That is why he follows the Avel, because when you have Kavod Brios and a Din D'Rabbanan, this is the first rule we have, Kavod Brios trumps a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, we'll get back to practical applications of that later. In addition to this practical application, a Kohen, if he's going to become Tamei Mid'Rabbanan, if he needs to do so for Kavod Brios, he should do so. And the Gemara further proves that this is a derabanan. Da'am Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Menafei Achadim Beis HaPras V'Holech. If a person has to make, if a Kohen has to make his way through the Beis HaPras, he can like blow on the ground just to like kind of clear the general dust and see if there's a bone there. And if he can't kind of make out any bones, he can walk right through and without a problem. Again, if we were worried about Tumah D'Oraisa, we wouldn't allow you just to kind of just blow the ground a little bit and get your way through. But since it's only a Tumah D'Rabanan, it's only a possibility that there's a bone there, and we're really not sure, then we allow you just to kind of do a minimal investigation, and if you see no problems along your path, meaning you don't see any bones that you're going to touch, you can make your way through. The Amar of Yehuda Bar Ashi Mishmei Dara Beis HaPras Shinidash Tahor, and furthermore, also to show it's Durabanan, that this Beis HaPras, if it was like you had like a whole thoroughfare of people, crowd of people walking through it, where presumably so tons of people, like a marathon kind of went through that spot, any bones that might have been pulled up by the plowshare previously would have been reduced to tiny little bits of dust or nothingness at the end of that marathon of people running through, and nothing is going to be left over, probably. So it's possibly Tuma, they're abundant, they goes there, there's nothing left. Forget it. It's now completely Tahar. Even Midrabanan, there is no concern that maybe there's a little piece of a bone left over. The point of both of those proofs is that simply a Beis HaPras is a field which only conveys Tuma, impurity on a Durabanan level. Why is that important? Because that is the case we're talking about. When the Kohen is with the Avel, and there's two paths, and the Avel chooses the path out of the cemetery, which will go through a spot which will become Tame on the Durabanan level, Kavod HaBrios wins. He should follow the Avel and make himself Tame on the Durabanan level. Okay. Tashima, we have another Braisa which says, the Amr, Rav Elazar bar Tzadok, Medalgin Hayinu Agabe Arono Shomes, and Rav Elazar bar Tzadok was a Kohen. And he said, you know something? We used to kind of jump over the kavarim, like kind of quickly, hastily go through these aronos, which are the tombs of dead, the coffins, likros malchei Yisrael, in order to greet a Jewish king who is passing by, of kavod, of honor. Below likros malchei Yisrael b'vad, not only a Jewish king would they do so, ella afilu likros malchei akum, even a non-Jewish king, they would go ahead and do this hasty jumping over the coffin to get to greet the non-Jewish king. Why would they do that? What's the benefit? What's the value in honoring a non-Jewish king? Shinizkeh, if you merit to be around at the time of Mashiach, and I hope we all will do so and speedily in our days, Yavsim b'malchi Yisrael malchi Yaakov, because when Mashiach comes and you see the honor of a true Jew and the splendor of a true Jewish king, you will remember what you saw when you saw a regular king, a regular non-Jewish king, and realize how much greater the honor is afforded to a Jewish king. Melech HaMashiach. The point of all this is that this Rav Tzadok, right, Rav Elazar bar Tzadok, he was a Kohen, and he was jumping over coffins to give honor to a king. That's Kavod HaBrios. Wait a second, Amai, why is he allowed to do that? Lema in chachma in vein tuna vein eitzla neged Hashem. You always have to follow the derais. You cannot go ahead and follow kav the brios. The Gemara says kiderava. The answer is it's like rava d'amar rava. Dvar Torah ohel kol shiyesh bochal tefach cholets b'fnei atoma. Anytime you have an airspace, an air gap between the dead body and the cover of the coffin or the cover in the room, everything above the coffin will not convey tuma above it. V'sheim bochal tefach. If there is no air gap of a tefach between the dead and the cover, then einochotets, then the tuma will go all the way up through the cover. If there's no gap, go all the way through the cover and make everything above the tummy. So they were jumping over coffins, and the Gemara is going to say, let's read it inside. The Rov Aronos, Yesh Behen Chal Tefach. Most coffins have an air gap between the dead, the deceased, and the cover of the coffin. So therefore, the cover of the coffin prevents the tuma from rising out above it. Everything in the coffin's tummy. Everything rises above it will not become tummy. This is, of course, important when coffins go in a al flight or any flight, they have to make sure that there's an air gap between the any dead that might be on the flight and the kohanim, which might be seated above. That's a whole discussion and cases that happen.
Right?
Oh, yes, yeah, so they're flying over cemeteries. So that's where I think they were like putting themselves into plastic bags to make like an air gap around them. Sorry? Just on top. Just as far as I know, just on top. Because tuma does not go out to the sides. Tuma rises, otherwise tuma rises straight up. For example, if you have a coffin, Kohen could be, here's the dead, he could stand right next to it, as long as he's not in the tent. Tent, it goes all over the tent. I mean, in any kind of house or room. In the ohel, right, if you're in the hospital room, it's in the whole room. But if you're in outdoors and there's a dead right next to the Kohen, he could be up to the edge of the dead body, but not over it, will not become tuma. Over, even 1 millimeter, is going to become tuma. Because tuma goes, it says, bokas v'yoredes. It goes up and goes down, but not to the side. Okay, so the Gemara has answered that case. Also, again, basically saying that it's not a case of Tuma Daraisa. Okay, another situation. Tashima. The Rov Aronos Yesh Mechal Tefach, most coffins have this air gap. The Gazru Al Shiyesh Behem Mishum Shein Behem. Midrabanan, a Kohen shouldn't jump over coffins hoping that there's an air gap, because possibly there is no air gap in that particular coffin. It was just a narrow, smaller coffin, tighter fit. And he became tummy. So midrabanan, we say you shouldn't do it any time, because unless you're opening the coffin to check, which you shouldn't really do, then you don't know. So basically, karma not allowed to jump over. But that's the rabbanan, they shouldn't do it. From the rabbis, kavod brios, if you have to go to honor the king, therefore, in that case, mishum kavod melachim lo gazru ben rabban. The rabbis did not extend their prohibition of going over a coffin when the honor of a king is at stake. Again, kavod brios beats a din derabanan, or a gzera derabanan. Okay, tashima. Next case. Tashima, gadol kavod brios, shidoche aslo sasishi b'torah. Kavod brios overcomes a negative prohibition of the Torah. V'amai, meaning that's what we've been talking about, that kavod brios will overcome a lo sase. It will overcome something in the Torah. How can that be? V'amai, lema in chachma vein tuna vein etzla neged Hashem. We should say, like we've been saying the whole time, that when it comes to mitzvah deraisa, nothing's going to trump that. You have to do the mitzvah. Even kavod brios isn't going to win out. Gemara explains, Targama Rav Shiva, Rav Bar Shiva, Kameid Rav Kana, Belav Dilo Tosser, what it's referring to when it says that that kavod brios will overcome a losase, a negative commandment in the Torah, means the negative commandment of losaser, davar sheyagiduchal yemino smol, you should not veer off the path of what the rabbis tell you, right or left. So, achichu alei, the people in the Beis Midrash, they laughed at Rav Bar Shiva for saying this. Lav lo tasur deraisi. Lav lo tasur. You should not veer off the path. Itself is a deraisa. So what have you done to explain to us this statement of Chazal? You haven't really explained to us, because it too is a deraisa. Gemara says, no, Amar of Kana, Gavar Rabba Amar Milsa, a great man like Rav Bar Shiva said something, lo tachit holai, don't laugh at him. What he means is, kol mili drabanan as mechinhu alav de lo tasura. When the rabbis made a decree, where did they derive their authority to do so, that we have to follow what they say? It comes from this pasuk that says, You should not veer off the path that the rabbis tell you from right to left. That's in the Torah. It doesn't mean that every din derabanan is itself a deraisa. That's a whole sugya in the discussion. But the source for why we have to listen to what the rabbis tell us, why we have to even listen to what the rabbis in the Gemara, what the rabbis and Rosh tell us we have to do, when it's only something that doesn't appear in the Torah, it's an extra precaution, that comes from this pasuk. That's what Rabbi Shiva is telling us. That if we cover the brios, it will be able to overcome a lo sa'aseh shebe Torah. Which lo sa'aseh shebe Torah? A derabanan. The fact that in the Torah it tells us we have to listen to the rabbis, that is what cover brios will be able to be. Okay, let's keep going further. So again, we're still on the same point so far, that kavod habrios will be able to overcome a derabanan. Now we get another point. Tashima, v'yisalamta mihen. It says that, let me read the whole pasuk. When you find a lost object, when you find something lost, so lo tir'eh ashor achicha, o aseo nidachim v'yisalamta mihen, hashev tishivim la'achicha. If you find your friend's lost animal, it's in the past. Don't ignore it, rather take it and return it to your friend. Okay? It doesn't say you're not allowed to ignore it. It says in the pasuk, don't see it and not return it to him. Don't see it, visalamta, and then kind of excuse yourself from it. That's how it says it. So it sounds like if you read the pasuk almost like literally, don't see it, don't like notice your friend's lost object and escape. You can almost read it like literally, lo tireh, don't see it. Like make yourself not to see it, and he fell onto him. And you should ignore, you should escape from the situation of a lost object. What's that mean? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Tamim shatamis alim him. Must be the fact that the Torah wrote this in a positive way, that you should escape from the situation. There must be times you are supposed to excuse yourself from the lost object. Upamim shi. There are times you should not excuse yourself from this obligation to return lost object. Hakeitza, what's the case? Imai a kohen vihi bebeis hakavars. If you're a kohen and you're in a cemetery, and the lost object is in the animal walking through the cemetery, and you're not allowed to go into the cemetery, you're a kohen. Oshay is zakein ve'elafi kvodo, or you're an old pious man, and what you find is in the type of lost object that you should walk around with. So you find, I don't know, someone's undergarments. So the old pious individuals don't walk around who's lost undergarments are these. It's like embarrassing. So the person to do so. Like reminds me, there's like a story. It was like a girl came to pick up her boyfriend at the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva came to open the door to take the message. So he came in. I'm here to pick up Yaakov. You tell Yaakov, Rivka's waiting outside. So Shiva comes in and says, Yaakov, I know it's mostly, Rivka's waiting outside for you. I don't know if that was more important. It's like embarrassing for Shiva to do that. It's embarrassing for the kid. But if it is embarrassing to be doing the favor, right, to return the lost object, the Zakein shouldn't do it. Or what you're involved with, you're like a lawyer. If you are making, how much lawyers make? $500 an hour now? $1,000, whatever the number is, right? And you see, his lost cat, which cost about $100, lost in the street below. If you stop what you're doing and you're not billing at this moment, so granted, you could tell your friend, look, I got your lost object, but I have to tell you, I'm going to have to bill you what I have to stop billing what you lost. So in that case, you're not really doing him such a favor by returning his lost cat, okay? So that's Lekach Nemar. I'm sorry?
Okay. Okay.
V'kach ne'emar v'yisalamta. That's why it says that you don't have to return it in these scenarios because of basically cover the some of these cases are covered abrios. V'amai lema in chachma vein tuna vein eitzel negad Hashem. How can the old man say I'm not going to return the lost object? Is a mitzvah midaraisa. How can he escape it? Or it says shiny hasam dechtiv v'yisalamta. Actually, you're right. Normally, you should not be allowed to escape the obligation to return a lost object. That's a mitzvah from the Torah. But here, the Torah itself is exempting. There's a gzeres hakasuv, we would say. A decree, the pasuk itself says, v'yisalamta, and we learn from that that if you are an old man, the pasuk itself is telling us he doesn't have to. Meaning, the Torah, which is obligating the person to return the lost object, is also exempting an old person if it's going to be embarrassing to him. It's in the Torah to exempt someone if it's embarrassing to him. Gemara says, oh, wait a second, if that's the case, nice, we have a source. Ligmor mine. Let's learn from this to all the rest of the Torah. The any time it's something that can be embarrassing, cover the brios, you don't have to do the Torah because the Torah itself is exempting, just like by a lost object, by a shot in it. Don't rip the clothing off your back. You're embarrassed. So you shouldn't have to. Gemara says, nope. Isura mimamona liafin. You cannot learn from Isser to Mamon. From Mamon to Isser. Meaning, this case of the lost object, if you don't return it, the guy's losing money. And in the case of the Shatnez, you're over an Isser, a prohibition. Now, why can't you learn one from the other? Rashi says, it's because the Nigmarine, here we go, Kalmi Isura. It's a lighter type of transgression. Being Isser is like on a hierarchy of prohibitions, much worse than causing someone a loss of money. Tosfos says, a little different language, in Shavuos, Tosfos says, by memory, I haven't found another one, it's Mamona is Nitan Lemechila. Meaning your friend, if Rav Shechter comes over to you and says, you know, I have to tell you, really, I'm sorry, I saw your lost cat. But I would have been embarrassed holding a lost cat walking around my circle last week. I just want to tell you, I'm sorry I didn't return it. What would you say? Don't worry. No worries. I forgive you, right? You know, you can do that with your money. But when it comes to Isser, Hashem, you can't say, well, I'm wearing shatnez, Hashem's going to forgive me for violating his avera. Hashem told you to not wear shatnez. You're wearing it, told you to take it off. Take it off. That's the honorable thing to do. So Isser is not something you can forgive. Okay. So what we see from here, that if it's in the case of money, monetary issue, like return the lost object, cover the brios also will win because presumably the person would not want to embarrass you to prevent the loss of his money. He'll forgive the loss, or it's not such a big avera, we'll let cover the brios win. Touch him up, okay?
Billable hours thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Tashima Bilachoso. Okay. To get this, we have to give a little bit of a background. I'll kind of say Rashi outside. By a Nazir, right? A Nazir has a few things he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to drink wine, not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to become tame to a mate, like a Kohen. He cannot become tame to a dead body. Now, it says in the pasuk, "Kol yemei haziro laHashem al nefesh meis le'avo." All the days of his being a nazir, he cannot come in contact with the dead. And it also says, furthermore, by a nazir to his to all his close relatives, to his laviv, limo, lachiv, lachoso, to all of his close relatives, his parents, his siblings, even if they were to die, he cannot become tamei tam. A kohen can become tamei to his close immediate relatives, but a nazir cannot. Says it straight, black and white in the Torah. Now, the Chazal take each word and ask, wait a second, if you can't become Tameh, you just told me you can't become Tameh, why is it that you cannot, why does it have to tell you you should not become Tameh to your father? To tell you an important lesson. To your father, the Nazir cannot become Tameh, but to a mace mitzvah, a mace where no one is around, no relatives around to deal with the burial, it's incumbent upon you, if you're the Nazir, even if you're a Nazir, to bury that dead body. It's a mace mitzvah. There's no one else to bury them. There's no one else to take care of the remains. You have to do it, even if you're a nazir. Your father, no, because other people can do it. But a mace mitzvah, you have to come tell me. Why does it say your mother? Because the mother comes to tell you that if you're a Kohen and a nazir, there's two reasons why you should not touch the dead body. It tells you for your mother, the nazir has not become tummy. But for a mace mitzvah, even if you're a Kohen and a nazir, you have to become tummy. And then to your brother, why is it you can't become tummy to your brother in the public? That is to tell you that if you are a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, the highest level of possible person who should not touch a dead body, if it is a mace, your brother, the Kohen Gadol should not become tummy if he's a Nazir. But if it's a mace mitzvah, if he's a Kohen Gadol and he's a Nazir, he has to become tummy. Then the Gemara wants to know, well, what is Vachoso? The last word in the pasuk, which is extra, to tell you that he should become tummy to his sister. He cannot become tummy to his sister as a Nazir. What does that come to teach us? Matam Lomar, back in the Gemara. So Tashima Lachosa Matam Lomar. What does it come to teach us? So we were going to use it not to teach us something about the laws of Nazir. Sometimes the Chazal, they have a way of learning the pasuk that if it's unnecessary for this context, it will teach us a similar halacha in a different context. But the same idea of halacha regarding a mace mitzvah, a body that has to be buried, and there's no one else to do so. So Tamilomar, Haresha Haya Holech Lishkodes Pisco, he obligates Er Pesach, and he's on his way to bring his korban Pesach, or Vila Mulas Beno, or to give his son the Bris Mila, Vishama Shemes Lo Mace, and he heard that he has a dead body he has to bury. Yachlo Yachlo Vitame, maybe he should stop what he's doing and go to be metameh for the dead. Amarta, that's why it says in this pasuk, lo yitama, he should not become tameh, just like the nazir cannot become tameh for his close relatives, so to the person who is involved in such a tremendous mitzvah of Pesach and Mila. Why are those tremendous? Because if you don't do it, you will get kares, the punishment of kares, specifically these two situations. You should not become tameh, do your mitzvah, because if you don't do it, meaning we're talking about where, it's one or the other. You either go to do the, you know, be involved in the burial of your relative, or you could do the Korban Pesach, but not both. So if you do the burial, you will lose out on the Korban Pesach. That is a big, big, important mitzvah, not to miss. Don't become tameh for that. Show up for the shiva, don't show up for the kavura. But yachol kishem shem matami lahem, but I might have thought that just like for by a relative, if a person's on their way to do a tremendous mitzvah that has a punishment of kares, he should not become tameh, kach einu matami lahem mitzvah. I might have thought that he should also ignore the mace mitzvah when he is involved in the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. He's involved in Bris Mila. He should not help out in a situation of a mace mitzvah. Therefore, Tamalomar Belacho, so the Pasuk tells us that the Nazir, and in this situation, the person involved in doing the Bris Mila or doing the Korban Pesach, to his Lacho, so Hudeyam Matame, he should not forsake that mitzvah to become Tame for his sister. But he does become tameh for a mace mitzvah, for a person who has no one to bury them. For that, he should become tameh. V'amai, why should he become tameh for a mace mitzvah? Lema, in chach, you're involved in the Korban Pesach. You're involved in your Bris Mila. You have to make sure you don't get kares. Let's say, in chach mevein tvuno vein etzla neged Hashem. Our answer, shiny hasam dechsiv v'lachoso. It is a pasuk. Meaning, here we have another example where there is specifically a gzeres hakasa, there is a Torah telling you that normally you have to fulfill the mitzvah. But here the Torah itself is telling you that because of kavod habriyos, because the honor of the dead body, the mitzvah, no one else is going to bury. It's lying there and it will rot if no one buries it now. And that is a huge problem of kavod habriyos. Violate the Korban Pesach, violate your opportunity to do the Bris Mila, and take care of that kavod habriyos. It's the Torah itself which is coming to tell us that. The Gemara says, okay, great. The Ligmar Mineh, let's use that as our source, that we always should allow kavod habriyos to trump any iser, any mitzvah in the Torah. The Gemara answers, no. Shev v'altase shayni. We only are allowed to violate the Torah for the purpose of kavod habriyos when the violation, the process of violating that prohibition is done passively, meaning I'm not going to bring my Korban Pesach. I'm going to leave myself in the state of being an Arel, being uncircumcised, not actually actively doing anything, and I'll actively simply be involved in something else. But the, as opposed to the case of where I'm wearing shatnez, I'm wearing kilayim, the act of wearing something and continuing to wear something is considered to be an active and ongoing thing. You are wearing your clothing at every moment that you are wearing it. So since you are actively involved in that prohibition, if you continue to do so, you are doing so in an active way, not in a passive way. And therefore, you should go ahead and take off the clothing, and it does not, you are not allowed to say that kavod habriyos, your own personal embarrassment, should overcome that. So just to summarize really quick, kavod habriyos will overcome a mitzvah derabanan. Kavod habriyos will overcome when it's simply an issue of money. Kavod habriyos will overcome when you are passively violating the Torah. So two practical examples. I thought of this one, but this happens a lot. So when you're in the bathroom, right, on Shabbos, and there's no tissue box, and no one cut the toilet paper before Shabbos, so what do? We know that when you rip on a line, that's a violation, that's a deraisa. Not just the Korea is tearing, but this is actually, I don't think it's machpaj. They say it's chote, it's mechatech. Mechatech is when you cut things to a measurement, to a certain specified amount. When it has the perforations, that's a dendereisa. So what they say is you should tear the I mean, it'd be very disgusting for you to walk out of the bathroom without wiping yourself, not cleaning yourself. So you should go ahead and tear it, not in the lines. That's only the rabbanim. That's only rabbinically prohibited, to tear in a way that's destructive to the paper, but helpful to you. So that is going to be a way in which you can tear the paper. Another situation comes in more practically nowadays. I don't think anyone's written about this, but I've heard this said. I checked with my brother-in-law, the Aris Dorch, so he told me I'm right. What, you're in the conference center, you're on Shabbos in the Simcha, and in the place that they're at, the clubhouse, they only have those automatic flushers. So there's, you have to go to the bathroom, and the only thing that's there is an automatic flusher. And you not go to the bathroom? Because if you go to the bathroom there, you will cause the thing to flush, which is a mechanism which is all electronic, but that's only derabanan. The electronical thing, as long as there's no fire process that you're initiating, then the electrical process that you are causing to occur, meaning you're causing the sensor to sense, and when you move away, it triggers, and it triggers the flush, that's all derabanan. That's only prohibited from the rabbis, not from the Torah, that that whole process happens. And therefore, your own kavod habrios, to be able to go to the bathroom, would trump the isser of allowing the automatic flush to happen, and therefore you are allowed to use that toilet if you have no other place to go and you cannot hold it in properly because you have to go. You're not allowed to hold it in. That's Baal Tshaksu. So you would be allowed to use that on Shabbos as well for the same reason. Okay? Let's stop here.